I will be reading Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you.
Please be seated. Good morning, church. Now, I'm going to stand up here and humble myself and say, I wish that I was young and svelte and could carry off that sweater vest that Stephen's wearing today. But when you're my age and you put on a sweater vest, you look like the farmer insurance salesman on television. And so I'm just going to have to stick with the suit for now. But, you know, I asked him if who dressed him this morning, and he picked it out all by himself. So the guy's got good taste, so any of you guys need fashion advice, he's not only a good song leader, but he can help you get dressed well in the morning. Thank you for doing a good job with the song, Stephen. Appreciate that. Appreciate our men helping us out this morning. We're continuing introducing our theme this year of Let Us Rise Up and Build. We have taken note from Nehemiah, the importance of looking and having a vision, how we need to have an awareness of our circumstances, and we need to formulate a plan. We need to be prayerful. We need to be repentant. We looked at all of those things, the importance of leaders, leading, having vision, doing the things that God's called for them to do. And today we're going to take a few moments to address our responsibility towards godly leaders. And I would ask you to join me as we pray before our lesson this morning. Holy Father, we love you so much and we thank you for your love for us. We thank you so much for Jesus, for his death, his burial, and his resurrection. For the hope that we have through his blessed appearance. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to serve you and to serve others as your children. And we pray that as we open up your word, that you would continue to guide us and help us to see what your will is for us in our lives. Help us to see the importance of acting according to your will and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, we've spent a great deal of time here, and I want to, by way of reminder, kind of get us back to where we have been. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, encouraging them in many different areas, speaking of Jesus, says, beginning in verse 11, and he himself, Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, before we continue with that, we have taken note of the fact that the apostles and the prophets still exist for us in God's word. We still have their instruction. We have evangelists like myself who preach and teach the gospel. We have our pastors who, in a teaching capacity, especially our shepherds, our elders that we've talked about, who help guide the congregation. And through God's word, through our evangelists, through our pastors and teachers, we equip the body of Christ for the work of ministry, and we equip the body of Christ that it may build itself up. Continuing. Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, that means complete or mature, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does it share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If we're going to build up the church, we've got to have leaders who are helping to equip. But the leaders can equip and equip and equip, and eventually somebody's going to have to get to work. Well, that's the rest of us. We've got to get to work. This is not just a professional's required situation. Now, I have duties that I have to involve myself in. The elders have duties they have to involve themselves in. But we are not the ones who carry out the work of the body of Christ in this place. It is carried about by all of the members, including us. The body has to work together. The body has to mature. The body has to grow so that it can't be fooled by things that are false, but it may join with the things that are true. Verse 16, the whole body, referring to the church, obviously, knit and joined together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Now, I don't know what part you want in the body of Christ, and I don't know how he stitched all of us together, but somebody in this audience is a pinky toe. And you know what the purpose of a pinky toe is, right? It's to find furniture in the dark. And maybe you're that person to find furniture in the dark for us. All kidding aside, our toes are important. Most of us keep them covered with shoes or boots or some other such thing, socks. But they are no less important whether they are bare or whether they are hidden. A very dear friend of mine and a brother in Christ by the name of Bob Falk was an incredible individual. We've all seen the movie Forrest Gump. This guy was like the real-life Forrest Gump. He was something else. He was a boxing champion before World War II, became a Golden Gloves boxing champion in the Army during World War II. His sparring partner was Joe Louis. Most of you who keep up with sports know who Joe Louis is. They were very good friends. They were very good friends. Bob Falk was a white man. Joe Louis was a black man. Joe Louis's family lived in the area around Montgomery, Alabama, before they moved up to Detroit after the war. And this white man and this black man in Jim Crow South in Montgomery, Alabama, were best friends. If that tells you anything about the character of both Joe Louis and Bob Falk. He was chosen to be a ranger. And as a ranger, he goes to Fort Benning to train, and he becomes a first sergeant. And he is put over a ranger group. That ranger group trained so strictly that they had a 50% casualty rate in training, injured or killed. On June 6th, 1944, Bob Falk led a group of rangers up the cliffs at Point du Hoc to take out gun emplacements. You may know it as D-Day. If you ever saw Saving Private Ryan and they're climbing up those cliffs, that was Bob Falk. He survived that. Some of his men did not. 6 weeks later in Saint-Lô, France, as they were out in front of the main army taking out snipers and doing all the things they were doing so the men could come safely through, what was referred to affectionately as a screaming meanie, one of those mortars that goes, landed at his feet and blew him up. At the same time that a German sniper fired a German burp gun and hit him with 5 rounds. It took him 2 years to recover. 2 years. He was in 5 army hospitals. In 1946, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States, signed an order for Bob Falk to be employed by the United States Postal Service. But his hands were so damaged by shrapnel that he couldn't hold the bag and reach in and pull letters out. So they sent an engineer, a draftsman, to him to see what they could do to help him work. And they designed a cart, and you've probably seen people in the Postal Service pushing or pulling the carts with the bags on them. That was designed for Bob Falk. And they put it in service throughout all the Postal Service. He got married, had two sons. His two sons played football for Bear Bryant at the University of Alabama. His wife died. One of his sons was a lifeguard at the community swimming pool. And there was a widow who came there that had a son that had Down syndrome. Bob Falk was introduced to this lady, Billy, by his son. They fell in love. They got married. And there was nothing at that time to take care of Down syndrome children or adults in the state of Alabama. So he formed the first school that dealt with special needs children in the state of Alabama, and every other school in Alabama that deals with that is patterned after the school that he founded. He served as a preacher in the Lord's church. He served as an elder in the Lord's church. He would stand there and talk to you, and shrapnel that was still in his body, over 1,000 pieces of shrapnel are buried with him, would shift and you would see him grimace. But something else that he would do is when he talked to you, he would rock. You know why he would rock? Because he lost his big toe. You know, your big toe is what gives you balance. You know, if you're a big toe in the body of Christ, you're helping to provide balance for the rest of the body. There are no parts of the body that are unimportant. In his body, his arms had been shredded. He had limited use of his hands. He had trouble in his legs. He's missing a toe. And he still continued to do the best he could, but he could not function as well as he could before he received his injuries. The body of Christ is the very same way. When parts are missing, we can still function, but not as well as we do when everyone is working together. When we maintain spiritual health and spiritual relationships that enable us to do what we are called to do. As we've talked about our shepherds shepherding the flock, we looked at Paul's instructions to the elders there in Ephesus. And he tells them to take heed or keep watch over the flock. And that is, they were to concern themselves with the spiritual well-being of the flock. Last week we looked at the list of characteristics found in 1 Timothy, Titus 1, and in 1 Peter chapter 5 regarding those who would serve in these capacities. These men that are referred to in some places as elders, other places as shepherds or pastors, other places as overseers or bishops. And those characteristics are present in a person who is qualified to serve. So what is our responsibility? As the body of Christ, as the individual members that make up the collective body. Let's return to Hebrews, which Briggs read for us a few moments ago. Appreciate his contribution to our service today. Verse 7, remember those, now this is written to Christians, by the way. Remember those who rule over you, that means those who lead the way. Not rule as in putting a thumb on you and holding you down. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Dropping down to verse 17. Obey those who lead the way, those who rule over you, and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, when we are dealing with leaders in the church, our eldership, this collective of men who have these characteristics, we understand that those men's authority derives from Christ, who is the head of the body. And since Christ has entrusted them with this responsibility, with this servant leadership that presents itself, and if they are serving as he desires, we are to be submissive to them. That doesn't mean subservient. That doesn't mean lesser than. That means we are under their authority as they are under the authority of Christ. We have a responsibility to our leaders to follow their lead. Looking back to verse 7, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. We need to follow the faith of our leaders. We need to have leaders whose faith we can emulate and we can follow. We need to look to them. We need to look to their example, look to the examples in their families and go, I want that. I want to follow this man. I want to follow this group of men. I want to be able to follow them because they are leading me. Now, you know, there's two things that are very important when it comes to being a shepherd. If you're a shepherd of goats, do you know what you do? You drive goats. Because they're not going to follow you. You drive goats. But you know what the shepherd does with sheep? He leads them. So the sheep follow. We need to follow their example. First thing that we take note of is the fact that we're to be obedient. When there are directions that are given, we have the responsibility. Look in verse 17. Obey those who rule over, those who lead the way. Members often want to affect decision making without the responsibility. That's a problem. That's a problem. Not that input is not important, because it absolutely is. But sometimes we think that our checkbook entitles us to have a stronger place within the leaders. Sometimes it's our friendship with one of them that entitles us to a stronger opinion among the leaders. There are many different things that sometimes we, as members of the body, think entitle us to have a stronger say than everybody else says, and that our preference, our opinion, is more important than everybody else's. We need to get over ourselves. The elders need to listen. They need to have their ear to the ground. They need to listen, but they need to listen to all members equally, weighing the concerns, the thoughts, the preferences, the opinions, and then what if there's a decision to be reached, reach a decision that is best for everybody in the body of Christ, not just a small group, a clique, or an individual. Because you see, too many times we want to lead, but then we don't have to accept the responsibility for the fallout. We don't boss them around. We need to be in an obedient relationship with them. And unless a biblical authority, a biblical principle is being violated, we are to be submissive to our leaders. If they are violating Scripture, obviously we should not follow. We should be going to them and confronting from Scripture saying, this isn't right. But we need to make sure that we are being submissive rather than trying to control our leaders. Secondly, we need to understand that there's care being provided by our leaders. Look back down in verse 17 once again. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. This is one of the things that really bothers me about elders. And that is that people look to them without any regard for the fact that when they accept the responsibility as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a leader in the church, that they are accepting a stricter judgment because they're going to be responsible for the souls underneath their care. And we just toy with them. What about this over here? What about this over here? What about this over here? And we do all these things, and we get them scattered, and we think that we can control them, and we can push them, and we can march them in directions that we want for our benefit, what it is that we think is best, and we don't realize the spiritual responsibility of the men who serve in this capacity. Shepherds are responsible to pray constantly for their sheep, for the lost sheep, to provide spiritual nourishment for the body of Christ, and to stand between attacks and the body, whether it be error or individuals or whatever it may be. You know, the staff that the shepherd had in the ancient world, and some places they still carry them today, it's not there just to look cool. It's not there just for them to lean upon. It's there to snatch a sheep away from danger, but it is also to ward off attacks. It's very important. This care that is being provided for you is something that should be appreciated, because there is a deep and heavy burden on these individuals, and we do not need to add burdens to it unnecessarily. Therefore, we need to be submissive and let them serve in their capacity correctly. The third thing, also from verse 17. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The body's responsibility to godly leaders either is going to create joy or sorrow. It's either going to create joy or sorrow in their hearts. And I'm talking about sorrow for the fact that you've got a problem, you've got your husband or your wife is leaving, or you've had a death, or there's an illness, or all of these kinds. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about problems that you create yourself, not circumstances that come upon you. Because they long to have those problems to pray over and to care for you. But are we creating an environment where they can serve in joy? See, whatever we do, it's either going to lift them up or it's going to add to the burdens that they bear. It's either or. There's very little neutral that comes into play. And so I'm going to ask you, as an individual, have you made their service a joy? Because that's what's being brought to our attention in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. That as members, we need to make the environment one of joy as much as it depends upon us. A little bit further in the Ephesian letter in chapter 4, following Jesus giving us these leaders to help and all of these circumstances that we're dealing with, We see in verse 17 and following that there's a new man that's supposed to be, we're supposed to create ourselves anew, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And then in 25 through 32, we have, now remember, Paul's writing to Christians here. He's not writing to people that are out there in the world, though they could benefit from these teachings, but he's writing specifically to Christians in the first century. And he says, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Paul is not writing to the Ephesian Christians telling them to stop lying to each other because they weren't lying to each other. He's not telling them to stop stealing because they weren't stealing. He's not telling them don't use corrupt speech because they already weren't using corrupt speech. He's telling them these things because they were guilty of these things. What burden do you think it brings upon the leaders when you are engaging in this type of behavior? But when you come down to the end, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Now, this is a one another passage where we do this to one another. Now, let me ask you, if we're to be that way to one another, how much more should we be to those whose responsibility is over our souls? For the body to function correctly, Christ has to be the head. Christ has appointed leaders to be the controlling element within a congregation, in a local congregation. And he's appointed that every part of the body should submit to that authority, and every part should do its share in helping that body grow and mature. I don't like the color paint they put on the wall. I can't believe somebody picked out this carpet to go in this building. Let's go complain to the elders about it because they need to hear this. I've been involved in leadership in the Lord's church in 7 congregations in 6 different states. And it's not a problem for Florida or Washington or Alabama or North Carolina or Kentucky, or Tennessee, or any other state, it's a problem everywhere. It's not centralized. And until we can get over that, we're never going to be able to fully function and grow up in maturity to him who is the head, Christ. And that's only going to happen when each individual and each family unit decides they're going to do the right thing. We need to be Jesus' body here in Gainesville. And that responsibility falls to all of us. Because even if you're that pinky toe, we need you. The body is incomplete without you. And if you are not functioning the way that you should, we got to go to the doctor and get that pinky toe fixed. Well, the only doctor I know of that can fix it is the great physician. Jesus is that great physician. He can help you where you are to become the part of the body that he has called for you to be, so that you can aid all of your brothers and sisters and make this congregation healthy, strong, growing, mature, and all the things that God desires for it to be. As you're sitting here today, have you been doing your part? Are you a part of every part doing its share? Some of you are, but some of us have not been as diligent as perhaps we should be. Today would be a good day to stop what you're not doing and start what you ought to be doing. Can we help you? Can we pray with you, pray for you? We'd love to help you in any way that we can. Or perhaps you're here today and you're not a part of the body. You're not a pinky toe, you're not a brain, you're not an eye, you're not any part of the functioning body, because you've never named the name of Christ. You've never put him on in baptism. You've never committed your life to the cause of Christ. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? In believing, have you repented of the sins for which he died? Those sins that took him to that cross. He paid the price for those. Are you prepared to confess before men, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And then, as Dan brought out as a part of our communion this morning, are you ready to join him in the watery grave of baptism, where the Father applies the blood of Christ, washes you clean, clothes you in his Son, and raises you up from the watery grave to walk in newness of life? Are you ready to start your life anew, become grafted into the body, and become a fully functioning member? Can we help you today? Whatever your need is, won't you please make it known to us as together we stand and sing.